This morning we are continuing our series on life passages. And so what I asked for a number of weeks ago was I said, we want to reflect on some of those passages, texts that have sustained us, that have been meaningful to us, that have caused us to go deeper in our relationship with God. And so the one we've received this morning is at the end of chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah. And so we're going to turn there. Now, Isaiah chapter 40 is actually at the start of what's widely considered a second book of prophecies, a second chapter. Because this, before this, Isaiah is talking to the people before they're in exile. So they're in Israel, and he's giving them lots of warning about what is coming. In this, starting in chapter 40, he's talking to the people while they are in exile. And so we're turning them, but he begins with these beautiful words as the people have been taken away from their home country to a faraway land. He begins chapter 40 with these beautiful words, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double, more than enough punishment for all her sins." And so we open our text together. It's Isaiah 40. We're starting at verse 21. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The word of the Lord. People of God, I want you to use your imaginations with me this morning. Imagine what this would be like. A major power, say China, wins a massive military victory over Canada. And they decide that they are going to wipe out our culture the old-fashioned way, the way it was done by Babylonia and Assyria. They burn all our cities to the ground. They torch our fields, and they drag us off en masse to China. Can you picture that? Picture your home, your livelihood, your business, your crops, your fields. Picture that all in flames. Everything you've ever done, everything you've owned, up in smoke. You see Edmonton turned into a scorched ruin. And as we get off the boats into China, some of our exceptionally gifted citizens become slaves to the empire. But most of us are simply scattered all over the country. 35 million scattered among over a billion citizens. Imagine what that would be like. You've lost everything. And so you grieve. Lost homes and work, friends and family. Everything you've done over the course of your life has now been burned in fire, gone forever. And you find yourself lost in a sea of faces, speaking a language that you do not understand. You are surrounded by a culture that may have some similarities. They're people, and people do what people do. Wherever they are, we are human together. But there is also major differences in what we do and how we think. Imagine yourself there. What would it look like? What would you tell your children as you struggle in the crowd? What kind of challenges would you face? And how would this experience change how you answer the big questions? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What does God expect of me? The prophet Isaiah is writing to God's people stuck in exactly this kind of experience. Hauled off to exile in Babylon, they truly were a people that were lost and searching for answers. In verse 27, we get a glimpse of their despair. Words preserved from a community in struggle over 2,500 years ago. My way is hidden from my God, Yahweh. My cause is disregarded. All has been lost. Everything. Their homes, shops, synagogues, the glittering city of Jerusalem, the temple built by Solomon, all of it torn down and set ablaze by their enemy. Now they wander as pilgrims in a foreign land, worn out and weary, lost and afraid, questioning their very identity and their faith, and looking forward to the future without hope. And as they were there, they began the hard work of rebuilding something for themselves. They didn't just sit around. They set their energy to prosper in some way, to battle for a new life, starting new businesses, building new homes, trying to eke it out. And they still tell their stories to their children, about David slaying Goliath, Solomon in all his glory, Elijah on Mount Carmel. But these are only memories of what was. They still sing their songs, but the refrains are empty and hollow, as it seems their God, the God who once parted the Red Sea for them, has left them behind. When God's people experience struggle and failure, it forces questions on us. It makes us feel lost and drained. And I think this is an image that resonates more and more for Christians in the West. Christian faith is in decline all across the country. We in the church wrestle with generations of people that don't stay and walk away. And for those of us who are sincerely trying to follow Jesus, we feel more and more like we are pilgrims in a foreign land, where those around us who don't walk as we do or think as we do. We are like exiles, as a people out of place, lost in a sea of faces. And yes, we still tell the stories and sing the songs, but we wonder sometimes if we aren't just clinging to a memory of what was. We aren't soaring like wings on eagles. We aren't soaring on wings like eagles. We are crawling, and we don't feel like we're getting anywhere. Well, when we experience these things, it gives rise both to a conviction and a question. The conviction is, it is not supposed to be this way. And the question is, where is God in all this? Why doesn't he move more openly to help and to heal and redeem his people? Doesn't he see what we're going through? Does he even care? I'm sure we all have a story to tell about where those times and places we feel like we are crawling. And our story may be based in frustration, where we just feel like we're spinning our wheels and we're not seeing the fruit of it. Or it may be one of exhaustion, where we're worn out feeling alone in that struggle. We've remembered together the experience of the people of Israel. I want us to take a moment to recall an experience of our own frustration or exhaustion. When have you felt like you were crawling along, tired and worn out? Picture it. Can you remember it? Remember the experience of weariness in your bones. Now hear these words. Comfort. Comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in Yahweh, in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What do those words mean when we hear them? What do they mean for Israel, hundreds of kilometers away from their homeland? It is time for good news, Isaiah says. Our time of suffering is over. Our God is sovereign and he is coming to rescue. God has punished us for our sins, but now he moves to heal and restore us. Our time of being lost, being pilgrims in a foreign land, is coming to an end. Very soon, our God will gather us home. Soon we will soar. In our text, Isaiah spends considerable time reminding the people who Yahweh is. Do you remember me? Do you know who I am? I am Yahweh, the everlasting God, the Creator. When I was making the earth, I measured all the waters of the earth in a small part of my hand. I had all the dust of the world in a bucket. And this whole empire surrounding you, it is nothing. It has the significance to me of a drop of water or a spoonful of dust. It is nothing. You blow on it, it is gone. All the peoples of this world, be they prince or peasant, are like grass that takes root, grows, and then dries up in the wind. Who am I? Do you remember? I spread out the sky like a great tent. I called the stars by name, and I have called you my own. Very soon I am coming to gather you home. Wait on me. Trust in me. Hope in me. Today's life passage is that last verse of our chapter, Isaiah 40, verse 31. That even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. Even the very best and strongest in this world collapse and fail. It was not in Israel's power to change their circumstance. They were caught in the iron grip of an empire that was unparalleled in human strength. Whatever strength they did have could not overcome that which they faced. All their strength could do was keep their heads down and try to survive. But God tells them that those who wait on him and trust in him will do far more than survive. They will thrive. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That word hope in our text does have all the connotations of waiting and hoping and trusting. When we read Hebrew, right, the word there, it's hard to capture it all, but it has all of it. Waiting, hoping, trusting in God. And this is that promise we often hear in Scripture. Wait on the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. And when we wait with hope and trust in God, He will give us what we need. Whether that is relief from the pressure, healing from our hurt, or the simple strength to persevere, or even the ability to bloom. It is a promise that God gives us. Wait, hope, trust in me, and I will not fail you. Here is an image that I think captures some of our struggle with waiting. The caterpillar, as it creeps along the ground, sees things in a certain way. Life is slow, literally a crawl. But how different will that same caterpillar see the world once it has developed its wings? Now it soars in the air above the very places where once it crawled. I got that image from a woman named Pearsall Smith, and she reflects on that to say, the crawling soul must necessarily see things in a very different aspect from the soul that has mounted up with wings. On my own journey with waiting on God through struggle, I have been inspired by the story and testimony of Corrie ten Boom. I call her one of my faith heroes, one of my major inspirations, just for what a Christian is supposed to be, just the life and the faith that she had, what God did through her. She is one of my faith heroes. And Corrie and her family helped Jews escape the Nazis in World War II. They were caught and imprisoned for it. She and her sister Betsy were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp, and her sister died there. But close to the end of the war, she was released from that camp on some sort of clerical error just before many of her fellow prisoners were killed. And so after the war, she began to tell her story. And I'd like to share just a few quotes from her testimonies that testify to what she experienced as one who was in one of the darkest places on earth, who was driven to her knees, who was definitely crawling, but who saw God sustain, transform, use her, grant her strength through tremendous difficulty. One of those quotes is that she says, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." And this is coming from a woman who has had everything stripped of her. And the only thing she did have left was her faith and her trust in her King and her God. And He gave her what she needed. He provided for her. This is her testimony. Another one, she said, was never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We know who is in charge, right? We've seen this God. So when we look to the future and it is an unknown, it is important for us to remember it is known to Him and it is in His hands. And so we do not have to worry about what is there. We know Him. We know His love for us. We can trust Him with it. In the work of ministry, we sometimes feel like we crawl, that we aren't getting anywhere. And I love Corrie's perspective on that too. I find it very telling. She says, "Trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you." Here is a woman that God taught to soar, that He breathed into her, and she gave herself to Him. And that, you know, that the last, that testimony of faith that she has, don't bother to give God instructions, just report for duty. Don't try and call the shots on how this is supposed to unfold. Just let God do His work. Stand up and say, "Here I am." Make yourself available to Him. Just report for duty. People of God, we worship a God who does promise to see us through, to give us what we need, and even to make us soar beyond what we would normally be capable of. He is a God who does grant strength to the weak, perseverance and courage. In those times when we are worn out, angry and frustrated, when we are crawling on our hands, we may not always see God's faithfulness. But in those times we are told to wait, to hope, and to trust in the Lord. To trust an unknown future to a known God. Because we do know our God. We know Him as our Father, Creator of the world. We know Him as the Son, Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, who laid down His life out of love for us. And we know Him as the Spirit, our Counselor and Friend, the breath of God blowing through the church to strengthen, transform, and heal. Filled with God's Spirit, sent in His love, and guided by His hand, we, the church, go to wait, to hope, to trust in the God who is able to make His people soar. Amen.